So, Bob, do you take notes during session ever? Are you ever the sort of therapist where you're talking to a client and you have a notepad and you take notes about a client in session? Do you ever do that?
First session, often.
Yeah.
Though what I write tends to not be that much. And then during couples therapy, sometimes I do that. Yeah.
Yeah. How come? Why couples therapy?
To remember something pithy that somebody said, or something to kind of get a sense of what is going on in conflict cycle, like kind of like I'm making a map.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can have a graphical or sentence oriented representation of what's going on in your head, so you don't forget it or something.
Yeah.
Or okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's what I want to talk about today, because there's a lot of confusion about those kinds of notes. You know, the kinds of notes that therapists keep, while they're talking to their client, because there's just a ton of misunderstanding. And I have an email from a patron that relates to this, and the patron's psychiatrist, I believe, doesn't understand the law and everything. So I want to go into that whole thing. Plus, I can't tell you how many times I've had conversations with supervisees, both interns and post-grad, about this issue and how much panic they get into when I actually tell them what the landscape is. Because a lot of therapists, they just sort of, they just sort of take notes and they keep progress notes and they just think, yeah, okay, whatever. But you'll never be as terrified as when suddenly particularly a client who doesn't like you asks for the client file. And you just have to hand it over as is. And there's so much. And when you don't have good practices, then you're actually opening yourself up to a lawsuit based on what's in the file. And I can't tell you how many times I've gone over this with supervisees and saying, don't put anything in the file that you don't want the client to read. And every time 99% of the time when I say this to supervisees, they're like, but I haven't been doing that. And I'm like, but I keep telling you, don't. Anyways, so there's a lot of confusion and there's a lot of misinformation, and there's a lot of consequences to having bad records and to not understanding HIPAA and all that other stuff. So I want to talk about it today. What do you say, Bob?
Sounds good.
This is the Psychology in Seattle podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kirk Honda. I'm a therapist and a professor and a good note taker, because I have learned the hard way. Who are you, Bob?
My name's Bob Gettle. I'm a therapist in practice here in Seattle, friend of Kirk's from way back when in graduate school.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm a good note taker.
And you're a piano player.
Oh, well. I'm worse at piano than I am at notes. I know that.
Bob, a long time ago, was moving, and he needed a place to store his piano. Store, or why did you? Why did you just offer the piano? So I ended up taking his piano.
I knew you'd use it.
Is that the only issue? Just that, because I would use it.
Yeah, I wanted someone to use it. Yeah. It wasn't going to be me.
Was it because whenever I came over to your house, I always sat down at the piano, started playing, started messing around?
Yeah.
So I had Bob's piano for almost 20 years, and I just gave it back to him. That's a long borrowing. But anyway, this episode is just for patrons of the podcast, actually. So if you're listening to this and you're not a patron yet, then this episode will end before the content begins. If you want to hear the full episode, you have to become a patron of the podcast by going to patreon.com. That's patreon.com. When you become a patron, you'll get access to hundreds of patron-only episodes. And also remember that if we get a few more patrons, we'll reach the level on Patreon in which we'll start donating part of your pledge to PetFinder.com, which is an organization that helps save pets from being euthanized. Euthanized? Is that the term?
I think they say put down.
Put down. Murdered.
Yeah, I think now we're getting to it.
PetFinder.com is where I've gotten a lot of my pets from. And it's a wonderful organization. A lot of volunteers work with PetFinder. They will foster animals for free. They'll drive animals all over the country to hook them up with families that want them. And when you become a patron of this podcast, then you can know that some of your money is going toward that. We've also supported homeless organizations, you know, housing for the homeless organizations, Plymouth Housing Group specifically, and also the Trevor Project, which helps to prevent suicide among LGBTQIA youth. So become a patron of the podcast. Become a patron.